651 and 751.
In a world filled with possibilities and wonder, hey, Lily Maselli, host of In Between the Music, and enjoy trivia and music together. For dates and times, visit WGTD.org.
Good morning and welcome to the Fab Lab 10 a.m. show right here on WGTD. I'm your host, Scott Nelson, and on today's episode, we're discussing the Fab Lab and its connection to RC cars with the automotive and diesel programs right here at Gateway Technical College. So, John, Steve, let's talk some Fab Lab.
Yeah, Scott, we have a great program for you today. We have some automotive and diesel instructors in. We have Thomas Davis and we have Mark Eater. And I'm John. I'm the Fab Lab coordinator. And
this is Steve. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Fab Lab 10 a.m.
Okay, so when I started, it must have been, what, like 7 years ago now. I think I say this every radio program, right? I go, we did some RC cars, and we were doing it originally with homeschool groups. And what we found in the Fab Lab environment was, what a great thing, especially with technology-empowered kids that are out there now. I know for a fact Rich Bunenkemper was doing RC cars and reverse engineering parts in his CNC programs. But in the Fab Lab, we approached it a little differently with advanced manufacturing. So we looked at, can we 3D print stuff when it breaks? And when we come in, we always, like always, we focus on fun. We let the kids drive a little bit. We just introduce them to the car. We have them drive it forward and backward the first session, and then we start doing things. Now, what this year and camp last week with at the track in Burlington, I'm going to turn it over to Thomas right now. Thomas, you've been doing Nitro now. This is going to be what your second year of Nitro X.
Yeah, RC.
I called it a pre-Nitro camp, but it was really electric car. So I'm going to, Thomas, take it away.
Yeah, it really was a pre-Nitro X camp, wasn't it, John? First off, I want to say I appreciate the Fab Lab's help with the camp. Without them, it would have definitely would have been subpar. But yeah, the camp was really exciting. The thing that's different about it this year is we're actually taking, we took some Traxxas / kit cars last week. We put them together on the first day, and we did that without trouble. I was a little bit worried about that. It was our first time running the...
Okay, go into Traxxas / and explain.
Basically, the way the RC car comes, is it comes in a bag it comes in multiple bags. All the screws, pieces, plastic, everything essentially comes in the kit, and the campers put it together from scratch. And once they're done putting the car together, on the second day, we go ahead and the car comes with a clear plastic body. The campers go ahead and paint the clear plastic bodies on the second day. Then on the third day, this is where I really leaned on John, Zarin, and Adam from the Fab Lab on the third and fourth days, that is on the third day. What we did is we reverse engineered a decal kit for the Traxxas / It originally was a Dale Earnhardt kit, and you can put decals essentially on all the panels on the car. They're all made to custom fit. And I leaned on the Fab Lab real hard last week for this, and they actually pulled it off, and we really did some amazing things. But what the campers did is they essentially that was on day two or day three that we did that, John? Was that day three?
Yep. I think we started then, yeah.
Yeah, it was day three. Well, after we got the cars painted, the campers went and visited John and Adam there at the track in Burlington, and they went ahead and essentially designed, dragged and dropped, if you will, right?
Right.
I don't know if it was
right.
That easy, but they essentially dragged and dropped what they wanted off the internet as far as whatever they wanted to put on as far as decals, right? So we had there was one girl that put a monkey on the hood, which was pretty funny, right?
Yeah.
We had a Dukes of Hazzard car that was one of my favorites. What else did we had? We had the Oracle car that was another cool one, right?
And there was one kid who was obsessed with the universe. He wanted images from the Webb telescope.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
did he ever get the
we
images?
Got the images on the car. They weren't as vibrant as they were on the computer. And then I convinced him he should name the car Blinded by Science, right? So
yeah, that's why I was asking about that, because I never noticed the telescope. I did see the Starry Night, I think is what he called it, but yeah, I didn't notice the telescope on that one. But yeah, we had 14 cars that we did, and each person showed a little bit of their personality and their creativity in the car. And I think that's one of the big things that I like about doing the camps, right, is the creativity side of it and getting to see like what the campers come up with. That's why I enjoy doing it.
Now, one of the things that's exciting about these car and the whole process of what you're doing is how it relates to STEM and how it energizes and excites people about STEM-related activity. Everybody thinks STEM, But seeing stuff like this, where you actually have a hands-on application from the mechanical engineering, because at the SC Johnson IMET Center, we have mechanical engineering tech, we have civil engineering tech, we have electrical engineering tech, advanced manufacturing. All those components are in this car that you have, some semblance of them. And students get hands-on, but fun hands-on experience interacting with these cars. And that's what's amazing about it.
And that's a really good point, actually, because going forward next year, we're planning on doing probably about four more is what I'm thinking. And that's essentially how I'm selling it, too. This is a STEM project is what it is. And, yeah, the students are putting together RC kit cars, which is pretty awesome. But the other side of it, too, is I'm using the campus well to teach them about electricity. So as John was aware when he was there, I was talking about molecules, atoms, electrons, and protons. And I was a little bit concerned at first that maybe some of the subject material was a little bit too technical for the students because they're just middle schoolers. But no, they didn't actually, now they got the opportunity to do it, it hit nicely. And I went in, you know, I went in each day in the morning and after the camp was over, I actually went and recapped all the questions that I asked them about electrons and protons. And I really brought this energy to it that got the kids excited about it. And yeah, I mean, that's one of the other reasons I do it too.
Now, Mark, one of the things that we do at Gateway, we run a Nitro X Camps. And we've been doing this for a while. What's Nitro X, and is it like RC cars, or what is it exactly?
So, kind of what this will be my second year doing it. Also, we did it last year. So Nitro X was basically run off of nitro cars. So it was nitromethane cars that they had that the kids would run, and that's how it started. But because everything with the electrical, it kind of ties in with our programs over at Horizon Center. Ties in with the automotive and the diesel because they're going to have to learn electrical to work on that stuff. What's cool about the camp, like last year, we had the nice, we set up a track indoor and outdoor for them to race. It was just a great time. And like I said, what's nice about it all kind of comes back to the Horizon Center, which is nice, you know, and these kids are learning. The thing about it is it's getting the students in to see what our programs do.
Now, listeners to the program is familiar with the SC Johnson IMET Center over in Sturdivant, which holds the Fab Lab along with our engineering tech wing programs. What is the Horizon Center? What is it and where is it?
Horizon Center is out on Highway H in Kenosha, if anybody knows where that's at. We're part of the airport out there. The building actually is, the property is actually leased from the airport out there.
Right.
Where they learn how to fly. So all of our classrooms, everything is out there that we, for the diesel and automotive side.
CDL
so
too, the, right? An EVOC track, right? Right.
An EVOC, yes. The EVOC track for law enforcement. They do all their road testing and everything out there.
Yeah, and EVOC means emergency vehicle. What does it mean? EVOC. Police can go and drive their cars crazy.
It's a training track.
It's a training track.
For the police department, they do all their pit maneuvers, and they do all the learning how to drive through traffic and around stuff. It's actually pretty cool.
I think a lot of people think of Horizon as being primarily automotive diesel, but it's really a very versatile place, and there's a lot going on there.
We also have the motorcycle training out there also.
Now, just for our listeners, you mentioned...
uses a spark plug, diesel doesn't.
How does it burn the fuel then?
It's all, so diesel is on combustion.
Compression
pressure in the head, and when the fuel is dumped in it, it compresses the fuel in there and makes a fire, and then that's what moves the piston up and down.
So
that's
when the fuel gets
does.
To a certain pressure, when
yeah,
it's
it
compressed,
explodes. Once it gets to a certain pressure,
so it compresses it.
It explodes.
And
diesel and automotive are on their way out. And I said, you know, I don't think diesel is ever going to go away. There's too much heavy equipment that's wrong with it. The military uses it. Construction uses it. What do you think of that?
So we get going on that. I mean, they want to because they say diesel fuel is much more harder to make when it's not. Actually, gas is actually harder to make than they use when they use the oils and stuff. My thing is I think diesel will always be there. The thing that they're talking about, though, is natural gas now. Hmm. They want to make all your heavy equipment and stuff out of natural gas because we have tons of it. That's my big thing on it, because they're always talking, well, everything's going electric. Well, you know what? I'm not an electric person. I'm sorry. That's just the way.
But some stuff seems like it can't. I mean, you can't run an aircraft carrier on electricity.
It's not going to happen. So my whole push for everything is that everything goes, all of our heavy stuff goes natural gas. Agriculture's already doing it. Our city of Kenosha, all their garbage trucks are run off of natural gas.
Hmm.
So my big push for diesel stuff, because you can still teach diesel. It's the same engine. You're just now, you're adding a spark plug, and you're using natural gas.
But the components are all the same.
Everything's the same.
They're similar.
And
yeah,
Cummins right now is probably the leader in the industry on that fuel.
So I want to move back into kind of RC, but I want to talk a little bit about automotive in general, because I think from the Fab Lab's perspective, we see automotive as being one of the fields that's changing dramatically with advanced manufacturing. And I'll just drop 3D printing like I always do when I, 3D. And I want to give a summation because I don't know the exact facts, but they flew a rocket that was 3D printed. So you can 3D print out of materials that were problematic as little as 5 years ago, and that's changing everything. So now you're going to have, in the space of maybe 5 to 7 years, a lot of automotive industry might not be having inventory because they can just 3D print out parts that they need. But I want to keep this more towards what we're doing with RC and how we're connecting it. Now, Thomas, you gave us a little bit about what these campers experience. And I've been doing Nitro now about 4 years. And when I first came, it was, how can we connect it? What can we do to make, people who are interested in cars and engines, which, by the way, that field is completely different than it was 10 years ago. Now you're more of a technician. It's not like it was before. You're not just crawling around covered with oil underneath the car anymore. There's a lot of technical and diagnostic that's going on. So when we first started, we kind of struggled. Well, what are we going to do? And we started with, vinyl stickers. Okay, we'll bring a CNC machine and the kids can design obstacles and we'll carve it on that. And now it just fits in so seamlessly and so naturally that I think we've moved to it. Now, Mark, you'd mentioned Nitro and how you guys are segging into electricity because that's kind of the future of automotive, but still drive a lot of Nitro cars in the Nitro X camp. And from my perspective, the kids get more driving time with the electric because the Nitros are problematic. The fuel-air exchange has to be adjusted even when the car engine itself heats up. And a lot of that means these kids are stopping and starting their cars and they're filling them up with, potentially dangerous fluid. So while they're fun and they're fast and they're great to race, I'm glad to see you guys moving a little bit more towards electric because I see more kids on the track with their cars having a good time, which just makes them interested in everything we're doing. So, Thomas, give us a little about that.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought that up because one of the things that occurred last year that I found out about is we actually changed fuels mid-race. So we ran it. We had our old stock of nitromethane fuel, right, which I think was purple-colored, and our new stock, which was pink-colored, right? And I think we were about halfway through all of the bracket races on the final event on Friday, and then we changed fuel. And then when you change fuel on a nitromethane car, you make any change on those cars, you have to make sure that the carburetors are adjusted perfectly on them. And if not, you'll cook the engine on them because it uses the fuel air mixture to actually cool the engine while it runs. So if you don't have the what they call the vapor trail correct, it's supposed to be about half the size of the car. You're looking for a little bit of a plume out of the exhaust is what it looks like. And if you don't have that adjusted correctly, and like John was saying, this has to be adjusted every time the students take the cars out. And at the time last year, none of us were experts on nitromethane cars. It was our first year. So, we decided after doing it last year and looking at the budget and cost, we realized that it actually was a lot cheaper to purchase kit RC cars and then have the students take the cars home with them afterwards, right? So it just seemed like a win-win, right? So we decided we're going to go ahead and try it this year and see how things go.
Weather.
I was just saying I want to ask a question, so whatever you're...
No, go ahead.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
So the kids actually can get inside these cars and drive these cars?
No.
Okay.
No, they're
it's RC size.
They're one-tenth scale cars, right? So they're one-tenth the scale of a normal size car. But what's great about them, and the reason why I chose this particular kit, is they're actually legitimately one-tenth of the scale of a normal vehicle. So if you turn the thing upside down, it has all of the same steering parts, all of the tires, all of the, like, the steering arms, the knuckles, basically all the electronics. That's all the same things that you would find in a vehicle. So if you actually went to the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids machine and then said, make this 10 times larger, right? Then it legitimately would be a car that you could drive down the road. Yeah, it's at, all of the parts are exactly the same, but they've been shrunk down. And that's why, that's one of the reasons why I chose this particular car, because it gives me a great medium to be able to teach the kids about it.
That's awesome.
Another thing that I saw Thomas fold in this year was he had the kids 3D print light bars, and then he showed them how to solder LEDs into the light bars. So that was another thing that we could extend on, and that was a lot of fun.
So real quick, how fast do the cars go?
That's a good question. Yeah, so the top speed of those cars are 32 miles an hour. We will not be racing them in that they call that sport modes. So there's three different types of modes you can drive on those cars. The third mode depowers them down to about 40%, so we're going to be running them, let's say, about 25 miles an hour top speed. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is the methane ones, they run about 50, 60 miles an hour.
Oh, awesome.
The clutch actually, it's got a shift in it. So it's got one speed and then shifts into the second. So they run a little faster. It's a lot funner for the drag racing, but I'm a speed freak. So
it shifts automatically?
It's got an automatic shift in it.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's pretty cool.
One of the things about those I wanted to mention real quick is with a nitromethane-powered car, you also have electronics on the vehicle as well, too, because you have the steering motors, or they call them steering servos, right? And one of the things that I learned about these nitromethane-powered cars is that when the servo batteries get low, right, that also, because you have a throttle servo as well, right? So when the servo batteries get low, if you're at full throttle and the battery dies on it, that's where it gets stuck, right? And then you no longer have control over it. I had a student once I was testing them out. We had gotten a couple of them out. I was getting them tuned up, making sure they were ready. And I took the students out front, the Horizon Center. We're testing them out. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, you know, there was a car that got totally out of control. He almost ran into the building. And I was like, oh, dear, like, you know, now we got to stop, you know, because I kind of gave him a little hard time. I'm like, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? You know, come on, man, I trust you guys. And then that's when he's like, I didn't do it. And I'm like, you just did, though. But, you know, but yeah, that's one thing you got to really look out for, right?
Now, one of the things that I was really excited for in terms of the RC cars was the fact that it was a 1/10 model. And with that, these camps are, so like our electrical engineering department has interest in Ohm's law and using a voltmeter. You guys have to do that. And these students get introduced to that stuff. Our mechanical engineering department talks about axles and gears and those type of things. And all that's incorporated into this. Our advanced manufacturing, talking about how to modify the body and all that type of things. Those skill sets that you show inside these RC cars are a direct lead into those type of programs at the SC Johnson IMS.
Amazed me, because some of them are a little slower than others on it, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's watching the ones that are really interested in this. And it's intricate stuff. I mean, it's, even though you're building your own transmission and you're doing all this stuff, some of them pins and stuff, but watching these kids do it was amazing. I think that's what got me the most about this whole building these cars. These kids are going to learn so much from it, stuff that they didn't even know. And a lot of these kids, they always had questions. They were always asking. You know how we always say in the working world, if there's something that you can't figure out, just ask a question. I think we have more problem with adults asking questions than we do children. So it was nice having these kids come to you and say, hey, I got this. Why isn't this fitting correctly? And you could show them, and they're like, oh, that's cool. You know, next time I'll know. You know, so they'd build the other half, and they would get it together. So to me, it was an amazing thing for these kids to learn.
And that's the other thing that is really inspiring about this, because we see one of the things that Gateway takes its pride on is that we have a lot of hands-on activities. So students can get a contextual feel of what's going on. And having these students get a feel of what electricity is before we get into all the equations and all the J integrals and all this funny stuff, having an understanding of what these bases are allows them to understand the material when we start teaching it.
Yeah, and when you watch, that's absolutely right. All of a sudden, they become empowered, and they just take off, and you can see them shine. And a lot of the instructions that I saw were kind of pictogram-oriented, so they weren't necessarily savvy. Amazing is even the quiet ones seem to turn around and come alive once they've had a challenge and they've shown themselves that they can actually solve a problem.
The other thing, too, that I noticed is we probably build better stuff than some of these guys, because once they get it in their mind, like you were saying, and they know, they were putting it together, and I was like, man, this is, you know, it's really nice to see that, because I think in the working world, especially me doing what I did for such a long time as a diesel tech, was to try to get females into the industry. So them to be interested in doing that kind of stuff kind of shows that they have a little bit of mechanical.
Yeah, and it's funny you should mention that, Mark, because when I first started at Gateway, we were maybe 7 to 12% females in engineering. And women in engineering, and I know from previous experience that my coming in and using the advanced manufacturing, just like the boys, across the board, they're almost always smarter than the boys are. They think things through. They have really good analytical skills. And I think now we're closing in on close to 20% in engineering, of women in engineering.
But the other huge thing about this that I really enjoy about this camp and others that we offer at the SC Johnson IMS Center or the Horizon Center is the problem solving. Because it doesn't matter what area you end up going into. If you can have a contextual understanding of how pieces fit together from different disciplines and how it can come together to make a whole of something, whatever it is, it could be a widget or whatever. In this case, it's just a really cool RC car. But that medium showcases those skill sets that is so desperately needed in industry today.
Yeah.
The ability to problem solve, no matter what the problem is, the ability to approach a problem, diagnose it like your light bar, figure out how to incorporate it using all these different skill sets from these different industries, and it making something functional is critical.
All right, so I appreciate you bringing that up, because there's like two parts to the camp that I like cherish, right? And the one thing that you brought up was the fact that they have to problem solve, right? The cars all go together the same way, so we call it like scientifically speaking, right? They have a structure; they all go together the same way, right? So, but when it comes to time for them to actually like to build the bodies, that's sort of the second piece of it that I kind of mentioned before, where the creativity comes in, where like that's not the scientific side, right? We're not going to go in the manual. It's not going to get put together by a book, if you will, and follow a certain structure, right? So yeah, that's part of the camp, like Steve just said here, right? We have to problem solve and follow the structure in the book to get the car together correctly, right? And I love that part of it, sure, but my most favorite part of it is the creative side of it, because to me, the students are not tapping into that scientific side. They're tapping into something what I would call maybe perhaps spiritual, or is ambiguous, if you will, right? They have to think in abstract terms, right? Yeah.
And that's what I love about this, because it ties back in to what the Fab Lab brought to us at the SC Johnson IMET Center.
Yeah.
We were very prescriptive, this is the process oriented. Having that creativity side is exactly what we cherish about the Fab Lab at the SC Johnson IMET Center, that creativity to add to the substance of the engineering, to add to the substance of the advanced manufacturing, to add to the substance of your programs of automotive and diesel. Having that creativity is what sets us apart and what makes
some of these students were learning how to create a bunch of stuff. I mean, the one girl, she wanted to have a castle piece on the top of her car. I mean, like you said, the creative minds. And the funny thing is, when you first meet these students, it's like they're kind of quiet. You don't know. Mm-hmm. But then when it comes time to designing something, that's when you start seeing the creativity of some of these students. It's crazy. It's like, holy cow, that's in your head? I mean,
yeah,
you really don't know.
And a little bit of encouragement, and they usually run with it, too.
Yeah.
Now, I want to say, if you like what you're hearing, you can email us at fablab@gtc.edu.
What was that email?
fablab@gtc.edu. Should I say it one more time?
One more time,
fablab,
please.
fablab@gtc.edu. You can find our page online, gtc.edu/fablab. We have a calendar of events. Now, I want to encourage everyone to look at some of the summer programs at Gateway. And like Steve is saying, we've learned how to cross the disciplines. So your kids are going to have amazing career opportunities after. And I've helped out this summer with five different camps. I've done Arbor Camp. I've done, and here's a really funny one. It was Health and Medical Profession Camp. And I go to the kids, and you guys actually signed up for this? I mean, that just sounds so boring to me, right? But the kids were having a great time, and they learned all about the technology involved in it. And the automotive and diesel is, if anything, I would say it's a great example of how all of the lines have blurred between the disciplines and how it's all just converging and coming together. And there's no one that does that better than Gateway. Steve, you got anything?
No, what was that email again, please?
Oh, fablab@gtc.edu. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know how we're doing. If you have ideas for shows, you can email us there as well.
Thanks for listening to the Fab Lab 10 a.m. show. I'm your host, Scott Nelson for WGTD, and you can catch Fab Lab 10 a.m. show every second Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. right here on WGTD.